जयं श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् अभयचरणारविन्द भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपादिकी जयं नितिला प्रविष्ट ओम श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपादिकी अनंतकोटि वैष्णव बृंदकी नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंदकी श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा गुंडगिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री श्री गुरु श्री गुरांग ऑल ग्लोरियस शील प्रभुपाद नमामि श्रीपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय बुधरेश्वरे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वदेव गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहकहिताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्स्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरात् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरयम् तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित कैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणाम् सताम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तावत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबदा भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमा यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतमभेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमाजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतया तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षताम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् कतो जयमुदीरयेत् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकोणिदादृतानेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीम् न कणिकापि कापि कापि नमा ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमधे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्हिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीम् गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणी श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यम् नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासाम् हरिकथोद्गीतम् पुनाधीभुवनत्रयम् गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂക്കം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം ചാപ്റ്റർ 2. ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ദി 9 ഗ്രേറ്റ് സേജസ് ഹൂ അപ്പിയേർഡ് ഇൻ ദി യാഗശാല, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദി സാക്രിഫിഷ്യൽ അറീന, വേർ ദി അപ്പിയർ ടു റിവീൽ ദി ട്രാൻസെൻഡൻ്റൽ നോളജ് ടു നിമി. And Srinarada Maharshi was discussing this Vasudev, Krishna's father, about the questions that were raised in that meeting and how the questions were answered by them. This is what we are discussing. Actually, Ekadasha Skandham, even if you discuss this for months and years, it cannot be covered because it is such a vast topic which Krishna has summarized in a 29 chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the extensive commentaries from the great acharyas on this is so exhaustive that even months and months of discussions will never bring an end to this, because it's such a large topic that is covered, particularly in relationship with the liberation aspect of Krishna consciousness. Because in the Bhagavatam, I can see when it comes to up to in the whole of 10th canto, when Krishna appears first, the childhood pastimes and later on his pastimes in Vrindavanam and also in Mathura and Dwaraka is mostly related to the establishing dharma in this world. That is what Krishna has done, and encouraging the devotees, his great devotees like the gopis, Akrura, and so many others who were given the opportunity to serve him and also the opportunity to understand who Krishna is. But when it comes to Ekadasha Skandham, you will see a completely different situation. Krishna is much more serious now, because here, while departing from this world, Krishna is instructing Uddhava on the transcendental knowledge. You have to remember, Krishna is almost spent 125 years in this planet by now. And Uddhava, who is actually listening from Krishna, taking these instructions, is also almost the same age. That means they are well over 100 years, 120, 125 years old. Both of them are of the same age group. So there for them, the topic is not of importance as far as the activities in this world are concerned. But what happens to the soul after departing from the body? And Krishna's final address to those people who wants to take spiritual life very seriously. It is actually meant for them. Ekadasha Skandham is meant for those who are serious about spiritual life. For ordinary people, there are other processes available in this world. But Ekadasham particularly, apart from Bhagavad Gita, Ekadasham is particularly for those who are very, very serious in Krishna consciousness. In other words, who wants to understand final and attain that final goal. Krishna says, this is the situation. If you want to take it, practice it. And if you can make it, you will get back to the spiritual world. That is the beauty of Ekadasham. So anyway, Krishna is saying here, now in this discussion we are talking about Vasudev and Sri Narada Maharshi. And Vasudev has told Sri Narada Maharshi that your appearance in this situation is particularly important, because great sages give association and they don't have, unlike demigods, they are on a different relationship with the human society. demigods, what we mentioned before, chayeva karma sajivaha, karma sajivaha sadhavo dina valsalaha, karma sajivaha, that means demigods offer results according to your work. That is the main consideration, criteria, while offering the results. Chayena karma sajivaha. That only they look into the qualification of the people and then they award the results. And you can see, just like the sun or the rain, Indra, all of them, according to the karmam, they offer the results. They are the vayu, air. Everyone, all the demigods, they are in that category. They will see our qualification and accordingly they will offer the benefits to us. Or punishment, whatever that is. Chayana karma sajivaha. Based on our karmam, what we qualify or what we deserve, we get it from them. They won't offer anything more than that. But chayana karma sajivaha sadhuo dina valsalaha. But sadhus, they are not like that. They don't look into our karmam, whether you are qualified or not. Their desire is everyone should go back home, back to get liberated in this very life. That's their desire, because they have experienced the transcendental life. They have come to the platform of spiritual realization, where they feel is the birthright of every living entity to come to that. So they don't look into anyone's background before they offer their blessings, or they offer whatever they can help to the ordinary people. So that is one important point. Chayana karma sajiva sadhavo dina valsalaha. So after that, aham kilapura anandam, verse number is number 8 in that. Number 7. Brahmam sthathabi prachamo dharman bhagavadam stava yan shrutva shardhaya martyo muchade sarvado bhayal. Vasudev is saying, Brahmam sthathabi prachamo dharman bhagavadam stava. Requesting Srinarayana Maharshi to talk about Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means Krishna consciousness, whereby Yan Shrutva Shraddhaya Martyo Muchyade Sarvado Bhayal. By hearing which, one will be completely released from fear. This was the question what Vasudeva put forward to Srinarayana Maharshi. He says, Vasudeva says, because Vasudeva is also feeling, although Krishna's father, he was also feeling the fear of material life, material existence, what will happen afterwards. This fear was disturbing Vasudeva also. So Vasudeva asking this question, what is that dharmam or Bhagavad dharmam by hearing which yan shrutva shraddhayom shraddhayamartyom, what by hearing which man can release himself from the material existence or fear of material life. Yan shrutva shraddhayamartyom uchare sarvado bhayal. He can be released from the fear of material existence. So that's what he was asking. Aham gila puranandam prajarto bhuvi muktidam abhujayam namokshaya mohido deva mayaya. Vasudev says, aham gila puranandam prajarto bhuvi muktidam. I have also not thought about it very much in the beginning, because abhujayam namokshaya mohido deva mayaya. Under the influence of deva maya or the influence of maya, what has happened to me was I did not take this particular issue very important in my life. What is that issue? Issue of getting liberated from material life. I didn't take it very seriously. He says, apujayam namokshaya mohido deva maya. Because of the under influence of maya. We are also in the same category. Because of the influence of maya, we also do not feel the necessity to release ourselves or to come out of this cycle of birth and death.
Yatha vijitra vyasanal bhavilbhiral vishyado bhayal muchyame anjasa vedha tadhana shadi suvradam. Yatha vijitra vyasanal bhavilbhiral vishyado bhayal.
Vijitra vyasanam. Vijitra vyasanam means different kinds of anxieties in life, isn't it? We all have all different kinds of anxieties follow us. As I mentioned before, that the anxiety becomes a habit with us afterwards. One after the other, we get used to this anxiety life of anxiety. We get used to it. And then it becomes a regular habit, because continuously the thoughts are coming in the mind and disturbing us. Although we are not meant to be like that, it happens that way. That is the beauty, that is the very nature of material life, one after the other. That's why it says, yadha vijitra vyavasar bhavar bharvishyado bhayal. The world itself becomes an object of fear to the living entity. When, as said, when a person first
the anxiety in childhood, in grown up, in adult stage, then fear of illness, diseases and death and old age, and at that time takes a partner to help, and then the fear from the partner whether she will leave me and go, or if he is not able to please her, in or she is not able to please him, in both ways it happens. So, like this is all Vishadobhayal, Vijitravyasanal, the different kinds of anxieties in life. And then the children come. Will children will act properly? Will they become a cause of anxiety? Like this, constant fear, one after the other. That's why Vasudeva is saying here, Yatha Vijitravyasal Bhavidbhara Vishadobhayal Mucheme Mucheema Anjasayivadham Tadhana Shadi Subhradaha. What should one do in that situation? Vasudeva saha Sri Shubhavaja Rajanevam Krita Prashno Vasudevena Dhimada Pridastamaha Devarshi Hare Samsmarido Gunehi. So Sudeva Goswami says, when this question was raised by Vasudeva, Rajanevam Krita Prashno Vasudevena Dhimada, it's an intelligent question, because Vasudeva had the courage to ask such an important question. Normally, not many people ask this question, because this question is not important for them. They don't find it very helpful to them in any way. So naturally, they ask all other different kinds of questions. But Vasudeva had the intelligence to ask such a question, and therefore, Sudeva Goswami is appreciating that, and says, Pridastama Hardevarshi, it pleased Sri Narada Maharshi. Because Sri Narada Maharshi also likes when people ask such questions. It is the opportunity for them to give them some higher understanding of life, rather than the four eating, sleeping, mating and defending, the four animalistic propensities in human body. But when one transcends that and asks intelligent questions like that, it pleases Sri Narada Maharshi also. Sri Narada Maharshi Vaja Samyakvedadvasidam Bhavadasatudarshava Yal Prachase Bhagavadan Dharmam Swam Vishwabhavanan. Sri Narada Maharshi is answering that question from Vasudev. See, he has started answering that question. Bhavada sattva darshava yal prachase bhagavadan dharmam swamisho bhavanan. That bhagavada dharmam, I will instruct you now about bhagavada dharmam. But Narada Maharshi didn't say it as though it is coming from him. In fact, Sri Narada Maharshi got every right to say this, because if you look at the 12 Mahajans, Sri Narada Maharshi is the second, isn't it? Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kabila, Manu, Prahlada, Janago, Bhishma, Belim, Vayasa, Girvayam. There are 12 Mahajans. Out of that, once you leave, Swayambhu is Lord Brahma. After Brahma, it is Narada Maharshi who is the next authority on Bhagavata Dharma. And that Narada Maharshi is even saying that it is not mine. I have heard this from somewhere. And I'll repeat that to you now. This is how Sri Narada Maharshi, look at Narada Maharshi's humility, that he could very well answer this question, saying that this is what one should do for freeing oneself from the cycle of birth and death, or from material existence. He could very well say that, but he would not say that. Rather, what he said was, I have heard about this in a conversation between King Nimi and the 9 yogis who appeared there, and what I heard there, I will repeat that to you. And this is how Sri Narada Maharshi presents that. What is the reason? Reason is very simple. That in Srimad Bhagavatam you will find there are so many discussions between different personalities, including Krishna. Nowhere they will say, in my opinion, this is it. Because to get from us this understanding, I am important, that has to go from our heart. And that's not very easy thing, because we are also used to this I think and I believe and it's my opinion. We are so much absorbed in that consciousness. And Krishna consciousness cannot progress in that way. So in order to make us free from that ahangaram or false ego, that all discussions in the Bhagavatam are between personalities whom they will quote from elsewhere what they have heard or experienced. So that's what you find here. As I mentioned, Sri Narada Maharshi does that here. Krishna also, while talking to Uddhava, doesn't say everything is his opinion. Never. Always. It is Bhishma Pitamaha has said like this previously, or some other great sages spoke, four Kumaras have spoken like this. Like this every time, to bring us up to that understanding that I am not important. I am not important. I am a tiny jiva. in this world, trying to find some happiness and peace in this life. And that tiny jiva has to remain as a tiny jiva. And therefore, Siddhartha Maharshi's words are worthwhile observing here.
He says, Shudona Paridodhyadamadhudovanamodida Sadhya Punadi Sadharmo Deva Vishadruho Bihim. Shudo Anupadido Dhyada Adradova Anumodidaha Sadhya Punadadi Sadharmo Deva Vishadruho Bihim.
So this Dharma, Bhagavata Dharma, what Siddhartha Maharshi is going to talk here, that it has been spoken before, Sadharmo Deva Vishadruho Bihi.
Tvaya paramagalyana punya shravana kirtana smarido bhagavan adhya devo narayana mama.
That tvaya paramagalyana punya shravana kirtanam, that it is very auspicious to hear, because this gives me an opportunity for Sri Narada Maharshi to talk about Krishna. That is what makes him very happy, because you don't get much an opportunity to talk about Krishna. You get so much opportunity to talk about all the other things in this world, but to talk about Krishna, there is very little opportunity. When you want, somebody wants to talk about Krishna, they'll say, is it so important that if you can give it to me in one word, what you've got to say? That's how people take it. Because this is the only topic to be spoken. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, there is nothing else to be spoken in this world except about Krishna. And that is the way the great tradition of the great sages says.
So here he says, Shudho anupadido dhyadadrado vanimo dida sadhya punadi sadharmo deva vishadruho bihi. Tvaya paramagalyana punya shravana kirtana smarido bhagavan adhya devo narayano mama.
So by giving this opportunity, I am able to smarido bhagavan adhya. It brings me memories of Krishna straight away.
Devo narayano mama. Atrapyudahayandimam idihasam puradhanam ashabhanamja samvadam videhasya mahalmana.
Then Srinada Maharshi goes on to talk about what happened in King Nimi's palace, between great King Nimi and the sages who were present there, and that he's going to talk about it. There's just brief history of that.
Priyavrado namasudo mano swayambhuva seya tasya agnistado nabi rishabhastatalsudasprada.
The family background of that personality, who? The nine sages. Who are they? Swayambhu Manu's son was Priyavrata. Priyavrata and Uttanavada were his son. We studied that in the third canto of Bhagavatam when we started the creation process. When we were discussing, we saw Swayambhu Manu's children were Priyavrata and Uttanapadam. And Priyavrata's son was Agnidra. Agnidra's son was Nabhi. Nabhi's son was Rishabhadev. That is that parambara. And Nabhi had son, whose son was Rishabhadev. And Rishabhadev had 100 sons. Out of that 100 sons, Rishabhadev spoke to them some important instructions in the Bhagavatam in the 5th canto. You can read. There, Rishabhadev spoke to these 100 children before leaving this world, before he took the sannyasam and left. As an avadhuta, he traveled all over. Before he gave up his body, he called all the 100 sons together and instructed them in spiritual life. That you can read in the 5th canto. So there he said that from now on, my eldest son, Bharata, he will become the emperor of the planet. That is how it became Bharatavarsham. That he will take over as the emperor, Bharata Maharaj, who became Bharatavarsham. The name came from that. And after that, 81 of the children, they became brahmanas. They became brahmanas. Although they were born as kshatriyas, because Rishabhadev was a king, they were born as kshatriyas, but they became brahmanas by virtue of their qualifications. By virtue of their qualifications. Karma shuddhi. They had karma vishuddhi. In other words, they were very capable in executing the Vedic sacrifices. Karma vishuddhi, brahmanas. 9 of them became kings at different places to assist King Bharata in his administration, to assist him. They became the 9 different varshams they have taken over. And then another 9 of them have become the great sages, the Yogishwaras, whom we are going to discuss now. It is about those 9 sages we are going to discuss. So out of the 100 children, 9 of them have become the yogis.
Tam priyavrado namasudo mano swayambhuva seya tasya agnidrastastado nabhi shabastalsudas pradaha tam ahurvasudeva amsham mokshadharma vivakshaya avadirnam sudashadam tasya asil brahmavaragam tam ahurvasudeva amsham mokshadharma vivakshaya
mokshadharma means the science of liberation. That is what was discussed. Avatirnam suta shatam tasya asil brahmavarayam. All those 100 children were instructed about it by Rishabhadev. That is why this Rishabhadev's incarnation is an important one. Because he instructed. No other father has done like this to his own children, calling them and talking to them the importance of liberation. That has never happened in the history before. That's why it is given so much importance here. Tesham vai bharato jeshto narayana parayana vikhyatam varshamedadyat namnam bharatam albhudam. The eldest son, Bharata, became the, who was completely surrendered to Krishna. And because he became the king of the planet, and therefore it was called Bharatvarsham. And, sabuktva buktavogam tektayamam nirgadastapasa harim upasina talpadavim lephe vai janma bistribhi tesham namanava dipapadayosya samandada karmadanda pranedaram egashidir dvijadayaham. So, talking about the other children who have, who are the children of Rishabhadev, what they have done, those things are token. And then he said that Tesham Navadipavadayo Sisamandada Karmadanda Pranedaram Egashidir Dijadayam Nava Bhavan Mahabhaga Munayo Hartha Shamsina Sharmana Vadarashana Almavidya Visharada. So, nine of them who have become very experts in the transcendental knowledge. And that's how Narada Maharshi talks about them. They become experts in that. Mahabhago Munayo Arthashamsina Shravana Vadarashana Atmavidya Visharadaha. Atmavidya, the science of spiritual knowledge. They become specialists in that. Atmavidya Visharadaha. And we are going to talk about them. Kavirhari Andariksha Prabuddha Pipalayana Avirhotroscha Drumilas Chamasa Karapajana. They are these nine great sages. Kavirhari Andarikshan Prabuddha Pipalayana Avirhotra Drumila Chamasa Karapajana. They are the ones who are going to discuss about. Ta ede bhagavadrubam vishwam sadasadalpagam atmano avyadireena pasyando vijaran mahim. Ta ede bhagavadrubam vishwam sadasadalpagam. What is so special about them? They were virtually like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By their spiritual realizations, they were so advanced in spiritually that they were able to present themselves anywhere, and they could talk about Krishna for any amount of time. That was their capacity. That is why Bhagavadrubam Vishwam Sadasadalpagam and Atmano Avyadiregena Pashyando Vacharan Mahim. They were so realized, self-realized, they only saw spirit in this whole creation, nothing else. Only spirit. That is what happens to spiritually advanced personalities. This is a big topic because you will see this in the life of all the great, great souls who were in this planet, but at the same time they were spiritually realized. If you look at their pastimes, you will see this all the time. When they become spiritually realized, they see spirit everywhere. There is no matter for them anymore. Matter becomes important to us because our consciousness is not developed spiritually. Therefore, we perceive everything as matter. But strictly speaking, matter has come from spirit. Spirit is the origin. So once you have gone back to our spiritual identity, matter does not exist to us anymore. It is the realization of all the great personalities. We'll give so many examples to that. So these great sages also, these nine sages, they were capable of traveling from one place to another. And they traveled in their spiritual body. They were not limited by the material conditioning. In the materialistic body, we have limitations. We have no freedom to travel anywhere we want. Plus, the material body itself brings so many restrictions on us, isn't it? Just like the great scientists are trying to move from one planet to another and all. But they have to put so much effort into it to prepare themselves for that. Why? Because they want to travel in their material body. But spiritually, when we come to this platform of what we see here, like these nine sages, they were not in the bodily concept of life. Absolutely not. So, totally realized in a spiritual body, they could appear anywhere they want, in whichever form they like. And they could withdraw from anywhere at any time and appear elsewhere. That is the beauty of spiritual body and spiritual realization. Liberated souls, in other words. That's why in the very next verse, you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Sukadeva Goswami has not forgotten about their activities. To come from a recognition from Sukadeva Goswami is not a very easy thing. Sukadeva Goswami don't give recognition to anyone so freely. But here you find in the Agadasham that he recognizes these people very much. അവ്യാഹാരേഷ്ടകതയ സുരസിദ്ധ സാധ്യ ഗന്ധർവയക്ഷ നരകിന്നര നാഗലോകാൻ മുക്താശ്ചരന്തി മുനിചാരണ ഭൂതനാദ വിദ്യാധര ദ്വിജഗവാം ഭുവനാനി കാമാം. ദിസ് ഇസ് ദിയർ ക്വാളിഫിക്കേഷൻ. ദാറ്റ് വൺ വേഴ്സ് ഇസ് ഇനഫ് ടു ടെൽ അസ് വാട്ട് ദേ ആർ ലൈക്ക്. അവ്യാഹാരേഷ്ടകതയ സുരസിദ്ധ സാധ്യ ഗന്ധർവ യക്ഷ നര കിന്നര നാഗലോകാൻ മുക്താശ്ചരന്തി മുനിചാരണ ഭൂതനാദ വിദ്യാധരാംശ. സോ they could travel anywhere. A lot of places is mentioned there. Siddhalokam, Sadhyalokam, Gandharvalokam, Yakshalokam, Naralokam, Kinnaralokam, like that unlimited number of places which are all subtle places. Subtle in the sense that in our gross bodily level we can't perceive them. That's why subtle means. They exist because Shastram is saying this. It's not stories created. All the Vedic literature says, and those personalities who could travel to those places, they have vouched for it. Often what happens is, we may think about even spiritually liberated souls, we form opinions of our own, and we fall into problems. That is what the mistake we do. You see, liberation is such a thing, it is the experience of one person. Only the liberated person knows that he is liberated. We won't know that. We look at them and we see their material body, that's what we see. But we don't know whether they are liberated or not. And all that experience what he has got is his experience. And that cannot be transferred to us. That cannot be transferred to us because of our conditioned state. Therefore, we cannot make the judgment on them. We have to accept their words when they say that. Like Sudev Goswami and so many other great sages, when they talk about their experiences, we have to accept that. There is no alternative. You can verify it, just like we do with the science. It is only thing you can do is to follow the process, and if one day, if one is fortunate enough, can come to that situation at some point in time. So, avyahareshtagadaya surasiddha sadhya gandharva yaksha narakinnara nagalogan gandharva yaksha narakinnara nagalogan muktaascharandi unicharana bhutanadha vidyadhara dvijagavam bhuvananikamam. That is why that is their qualification is, that they could travel to all sorts of places like this. They had no, there are no restrictions. Nobody was there to restrict them. Because that was the freedom that what they got from the spiritual self-realization. That is the freedom they get. So this is why all spiritual life is talks about freedom, isn't it? Freedom. This freedom is a very wrongly understood word. See, in the modern society, we also talk about freedom, isn't it? Freedom for independence, freedom for this, freedom for that. So many things, freedom, we are all fighting. What we are looking for is freedom for the senses, freedom for the mind, freedom for the body, freedom for the intelligence. This is the thing when we talk about freedom, it comes to us. From the aspect of the saints, great saints, it is a completely different thing. For them, freedom from the senses, freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence. That is what they are looking for. So it's two different levels we are operating. You can see there. We are looking for freedom for the mind, freedom for the senses, freedom for the body, freedom for the intelligence. Isn't it? That is what we call freedom in this world. The sages say their freedom is freedom from the senses, freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, and freedom from the intelligence. So there itself, we go in two different ways. We go in one route, they go in the other route. They are saying, your so-called fighting for freedom for all these things is completely a waste of time. Because by the virtue of creation itself in the human body, you will never be able to achieve proper freedom in this kind. Because already we are controlled so much by the material nature. How many of us can really say that we have the freedom from the mind or freedom of the mind? And we don't have any freedom. What we have is we are completely subjugated by the material nature all the time in one way or the other. Old age comes, disease comes. What freedom have we got? All freedom you have is to call the ambulance and go to the hospital and lie there. That's the freedom what we have got at that age in life, isn't it? When the old age comes and the disease comes, where is the freedom? And similarly in everything else, if you look at it, in the youth or in the when you are young, we want freedom for the senses, but senses overpower us. It takes over. And we have no freedom for the senses. We try to enjoy senses, the result will be we get sick from that. All the senses eventually push us down and make us sick. So that's what will happen. And freedom from mind is concerned, mind is much more powerful than us, and that overpowers us. So all this trying to acquire freedom for all these things is just not worthwhile. What to talk about working for freedom, for independence, and freedom for so many other things what we have got. All a waste of time at the end. Because from spiritual position, if you look at the spiritual angle, all other freedoms have no meaning. That's not freedom. Unless you escape from all this. Because these are things which have grown on our spiritual identity. This human body, including this gross body, the mind, intelligence, they are the sheets which actually covers the soul. And not allow the soul to experience its own true nature, what is eternity, blissful and knowledge. Eternity, blissful and knowledge. This is our, Shastras are telling us, this is our real nature. Where, what are we experiencing? Exactly opposite. Isn't it? So there itself we have a problem. We have not even understood what is freedom means. So that's another problem. Similarly, these great souls have shown us also another important thing. What is that? The thing called death is also in relationship with the body. So, and this is this fear of death is that is what is frightening us throughout life, preparing us or keeping us going, doing things in this world is only because of the fear of death. Fear of death of what? Fear of losing this body, isn't it? So in order to protect this body, we spend all our energy throughout life to maintain it and to look after it, isn't it? To earn money, to work, and to maintain family. So many things what we do in this world is simply for maintaining this material body, in the hope that we might be able to protect that. That is the goal behind it. And also eventually we know that the fear of death, and death also which is very certain one day going to happen, we are also having a fear of that, that fear of death. But after the stage when these great sages is showing to us that the process of liberation or process of self-realization will lead us to a stage where this fear will totally go. This fear will totally go. Because it is at that stage we realize that the death is actually only for the body, nothing to do with us. So, on the other hand, throughout our life, this adhyasam, it's called in the Shastram, it's referred as adhyasam, that I'm going to die. This fear has overpowered us, because we have identified with the body. And in order to separate us from that, Shastram is telling us that if you practice Krishna consciousness, Bhagavata Dharmam, what will happen is, you will come to realize that I'm not this body, so where is the question of fearing of death, which doesn't rise. And that is how that fear goes away. That is how that fear goes away. We have so many examples in the history to show this. Throughout the Vedic history you will find, and even in other traditions also, like I mentioned while speaking about Bhagavad Gita, that Socrates was the best example, that he had come out of that understanding that I am this body. So nothing could frighten him. That is how that fear goes away. When we come to the spiritual consciousness, that what we are, actually what we are. So like that in the history, also many, many great souls have demonstrated this. There was a great personality who lived about 200 years ago, but roughly 200 years ago. He was born in Andhra Pradesh, and his name was, he was actually born from a family who were all very, very advanced in spiritually. The whole family was so advanced spiritually. The father himself was a great yogi, Somanath Yogi he was called, Somanath Yogi. This Somanath Yogi, his wife, and they had a son who they gave him the name of Shivarama Krishna. That is the name they gave to that child. While the boy was 2 years old, the father took sannyas and left home. That was their strength of conviction in the Shastram and their conviction of understanding of the spiritual life. So advanced they were that the father was able to leave home when the boy was 2 years old. Father left and went away to Himalayas for cultivating further austerities and penances. He went away from home. He went away from home. This boy, 2 years old boy, Shivaramakrishnan, he was so intelligent, extremely intelligent. So he grew up with such a high degree of realizations, mastered all the Vedic literature so well, nobody could beat him in anything. He was so advanced. He's in the history, he is so well known. And at the age of 2 years, he started learning the scriptures. And by age of 10, 12, he was so learned. And what did the next thing he did? He started traveling, going to all the king's big, big assemblies and argue with the big scholars there who are present there. So at the same time, there were two other great personalities who lived in the same time. They were propagating the holy name, chanting the holy name. That was their propagation. One was called Sridharayaval and another person was called Nama Bodhendra Saraswati. Both of these two acharyas, they lived in the banks of the river Kaveri River. And they were propagating the holy name at that time. Our little boy, Shivaramakrishna, goes to them and discusses with them and took instructions from them about chanting the holy name process. He took instructions from them how to chant the holy name. So Sridharayaval and Nama Bodhendra Saraswati, they were preaching the chanting process, holy name, at that time. Lord Ramachandra's name were preached by Nama Bodhendra Saraswati, and Sridharayaval was preaching actually Lord Shiva's holy name to be chanted. But they were friends. They were chanting the holy name and preaching that. So our little boy Shivaramakrishna goes, takes initiation from both of them and chants the holy name, but still continued his victory journey throughout India. He was traveling that time. Goes to all the assemblies of the big, big kings and argue with them, defeat them, and he will win prizes in the assembly. That is what he was doing. So at the same time, once it so happened that the king of Mysore invited him to be a member of the assembly, in his assembly. King of Mysore was a very powerful king at that time. So he accepted, he went there. So when he went there, before going there, he took the Diksha initiation from another acharya, who was at that time in Kanchi. Paramashivendra Saraswati or something, that was his name. He took initiation from him, his second initiation, and then came to this assembly of the king of Mysore, and there he was the court scholar, who was the most recognized scholar by the king. And the king used to invite many scholars from the rest of the country. They all used to come there. And our Shivaramakrishna used to argue with them on the scriptures, on the Shastram. So many things they will discuss, and he will beat every one of them. Nobody could win him. He was such an intelligent person, and so learned, and so much knowledgeable about everything. This carried on for some time. One god brother of him, that means he took initiation from this Paramashivendra Saraswati. Another disciple of Paramashivendra Saraswati by name Gopal Krishna was also in the same assembly. So Gopal Krishna saw his god brother's success in defeating other people in discussions and arguments and in the Shastram side, everything. So Gopal Krishna thought, if this person turns to proper spiritual life, instead of doing this, beating everyone in the arguments and acquiring this fame, how successful he would be. Because seeing his intelligence and capabilities of absorbing spiritual topics with such a ease and able to accommodate that within his own consciousness and the realizations he had, this boy Gopal Krishna, his god brother, spoke to his spiritual master, who was Paramashivendra Saraswati, and told him what was going on in the palace, in the assembly. So Paramashivendra Saraswati, his spiritual master, heard about this and called him back to come to Kanchipuram, to Kanchi. This is in Kanchipuram, was at that time a big center of learning, and so many great sannyasis, acharyas, they all were from there. So he was called back to Kanchi. He went back to Kanchi, and in Kanchipuram his spiritual master told him like this. What he told him was, you are very expert in going and shutting so many other people's mouth. You couldn't shut your own mouth, could you? This is how the spiritual master spoke to his disciple. This disciple was so intelligent that he had such a deep realizations, so advanced spiritually, that nobody could beat him, but this is the instruction spiritual master gave to him. You have gone and shut so many others' mouth, but you couldn't shut your own mouth, he said to him. In other words, what he said was that you have got this human body, you got all these capabilities, and you are busy in acquiring all these kind of glory in this world. Rather, why not direct it towards Krishna? In other words, going back to the spiritual world. That's what he was talking to him. When he heard this, from that day onwards, he has not spoken one word. He never spoke after that one word. And this, his name was given later, Sadashiva Brahmendra. That was his name. He's so well known, Sadashiva Brahmendra. Sadashiva Brahmendra, he was not only a jnani, not only a devotee, a great yogi as well. Anything you can talk about spiritual life, everything was there in him. Sadashiva Brahmendra. So once it so happened, he was in a realized state. He always moved around, totally realized consciousness. Nothing to do with the body, not affected him anymore. Goes and sits in the Kaveri River, and he was absorbed in the meditations there. While meditations were going on, the floods came and completely covered Kaveri River. He went underneath the water. He went underneath the water. When he was underneath the water stayed for quite a few days. So the people noticed that he has gone, and they tried to find him, they couldn't find him. Because when the floods come, it comes so quick, and they couldn't search for him. They thought he is dead and gone. After a few weeks, the water receded. The floods were gone, and people started walking through Kaveri River. Kaveri River is very wide and plenty of water during the rainy season. So they went and they were digging for some sand or something. They were digging there. When they dug, underneath they saw blood coming out. And they looked, they could see he was sitting there. The Sadashiva Brahmendra was sitting underneath the water, underneath the ground. Because he was covered with the mud, he was covered with the water as well. They brought him out from the sand. And there is some Ayurvedic processes by which you can bring them back to, their body can be repaired at that time. They brought him and repaired the body with some treatments, Ayurvedic treatments. He got up and walked out from there, quietly walked away from there. This was the type of person, Sadashiva Brahmendra, very well known personality. The whole Carnatic music is indebted to him. Because this traditional Carnatic music, he has written so many beautiful creations of his. He's very, very well known, Sadashiva Brahmendra. So, Sadashiva Brahmendra walks up and goes away from there, totally unaffected by that. How could this happen? This is because spirit soul and material body, actually material body is a creation of the spirit soul. And you may wonder, we all wonder this, isn't it? Suppose if I take to spiritual life, who will look after my body? This fear always we have, isn't it? Should we not do our ordinary dealings in this world when we are spiritually engaged? Strictly speaking, no. Till we come to that platform, we have to do it. Once you come to total realized state in spiritual life, body is not anymore a botheration. It is maintained by the self, by the soul, automatically. Because you're not even aware of the existence of the body. The body may survive, body may not survive. And body carries on because the soul is in a realized state and no particular maintenance is required. No particular maintenance is required. You will see this. If you look into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of the pastimes you will see. Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri and he fell into the sea. And in the river he was floating. Then he was collected by one of the fishermen in the net. When he was taken out in the net, he was chanting Hare Krishna. Mahaprabhu was chanting Hare Krishna. Why is that? Because there is no bodily identification, totally situated on the spiritual platform. They don't feel that Mahaprabhu was talking about Krishna all the time, and people are wondering, how come he is not looking after his body? He is not maintaining his body. Least care for the body. Because body doesn't require any maintenance once you have reached that stage. That is why spiritual realization is so important. Today, all our energy is maintaining the body. Isn't it? And then we see if we can have some spiritual life in that. That's where we are today. But once we understand and cultivate spiritual life properly, like in the Ekadasha Skandham, what Krishna is talking about, all these things. These are the topics that's discussed in Ekadasham. That's why it makes it interesting. That once you are liberated from the bodily identity and released from that, then there is no more anxiety about material body. Once for all, it is finished. So that is what has happened to many, many great acharyas who were all like this. They all had no anxiety about material body because of their realized stage of existence. So spiritual existence means this. There are the reason is that we have this false concept in our head, which is deeply hammered into our mind, that if I don't look after the body, body will die, isn't it? To a degree it is correct, because the reason for that is we are identifying with the body, therefore we have to look after the body, we have no freedom to escape from that. But once you are come out of the bodily identity, bodily concept of life, that role doesn't apply anymore. That rule doesn't apply anymore. That's what they are showing to us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sadashiva Brahmendra and so many other great personalities in the past will always show to us this one point, that bodily identity, as long as it exists in a person, he has to carry on with his bodily maintenance. But moment you are totally released from the bodily identity and come to the spiritual platform, bodily maintenance is not anymore necessary. It's not a necessity at all. Sadashiva Brahmendra, after walking out from there, there are quite a few incidents what happened in his life later on, which is very well known throughout in the Vedic tradition. Sadashiva Brahmendra was walking through a garden of a great Muslim ruler who ruled at that time. In his gardens, he was walking through. While walking, he was not even conscious that he had no clothes. He had no clothes, he was walking through. So this Muslim Nawab, who was ruling that time, he saw that he was very offensive. One, you know, like here also, for exposure you can get punished, isn't it? So like that, those days also the rules existed. He was walking without clothes, and women were bathing in a tank at that time. And Nawab felt very offended for what he has done. So what did he do? He took his sword, went to him, pulled his hand and cut the hand. As usual, the typical style of punishment offered to him. Cut the hand and throw it away. Even at that time, Sadashiva Brahmendra was not affected. He carried on walking. Left one hand there and carried on walking with that. When he walked like that, the Muslim Nawab came to his senses. He thought, realized that this is not an ordinary person I was dealing with. What I have done is something particularly a very serious thing, what I have committed. Don't know what will happen. Fear came up to his mind. So what he did was, he went up to him and paid his obeisances and stopped him. So he looked at him. So, and he was not even aware that the hand is gone. So Nawab started talking to him. This Muslim Nawab started talking to him, that I have done this serious mistake to you. He says, bring that hand to me, he says. He brings the hand, what he was cut off. He puts it to the hand and joins it, and then he walks off with that. This is the advanced state of consciousness. Sadashiva Brahmendra's well-known story this is. In another instance, what happened to him was, he was lying somewhere where the farmers were keeping the hay. You know, they stack up the hay in huge quantity. He was lying somewhere. Nobody noticed that. The farmers come and put the hay on top of him. And all the hay was on him, and he was lying underneath the hay for months together. One day they removed the hay to dry the hay in the sun or something. They took it out. They saw him lying underneath that. And then he gets up, walks away from there. So this is Sadashiva Brahmendra. This Sadashiva Brahmendra has written a song which is very famous, Bruhi Mugindedi. It's addressing Krishna. Talks about chanting the holy name of Mugunda, Krishna. It's so famous, that song, Bruhi Mugindedi. It's very, very, very famous. And this Sadashiva Brahmendra is a personality, comes to our mind when we talks about this nine yogis. Avyahadeshtagadaya surasiddha sadhya gandharva yaksha naragin naranagalogan muktascharandi municharana bhuta dada vidhyadere dijagavam bhuvanani kamam. That is their state of consciousness. These nine yogindras whom we are discussing here, they were also like that. Like that, Sadashiva Brahmendra were talking about, because Sadashiva Brahmendra is a recent history, not long ago, about 200, 250 years or so, not long ago. But these nine yogis who have come like this, they were of a different category. This is the type of association what Srinarada Maharshi is talking about here. That in the Bhagavadam, if you look in the in two places, this is mentioned. Third canto, chapter 28, verse 37, and 11th canto, chapter 13, verse 36. So let's look at that verse. What does that verse say? 11th canto, chapter 13, verse 36.
chapter 13, verse 36.
This we'll discuss later, this verse, when we come to that. But you can see that Krishna has already spoken about such things, what happened to such people who have self-realized. In the self-realized platform, it's a different life altogether. We can't imagine that state of consciousness because of our bodily identity, what we have identified with the body.
Krishna says there to Uttava, Deham janashwaram avastidam uthidam va Siddhavanna pashyadi edho dhyagamal swarupam Deiva adabedam uda deiva mashadubedam Vasoyadha parigridam madhiramadhanda Deiva deham janashwaram avastidam uthidam va
Deham janashwaram. Material body is a temporary thing. We are not reconciling that fact, are we? We are always thinking, somehow or the other, if I can keep it going for a long period. I know we will die one day, but still, the longer you can get out of it, it's good. So, deham janashwaram avasthidam uthidam va. Already these people know, these great souls, realized souls, deham janashwaram. Don't want, there's no point in trying to maintain this body. One day it's going to fall anyway, fall apart. And then what else?
Uthidam va siddho navashyado dhyagamal swarupam.
Because they have realized what their swarupam is, what their real identity is. What I am, who am I? This realization is total in them. They have realized it. So there is no need for them to think about the body anymore. You see? We are thinking about the body. Why we think about the body so much? We get a little pain here, ran straight to GP. We get another pain, a little bit more, gone to the NHS hospital. Why? Because this is what is important to us at the moment. Spiritual life is not that. We haven't reached that state of consciousness, what they had. But they don't go to GP and they don't go on to the NHS. They're saying here, see, Krishna's words are Siddho Navashari Edo Dhyagamal Swarupam. My Swarupam, my real identity, I have understood now what I am. So where is the question of thinking about the body? What is body is nothing at that point.
Then he says, Deva Adamedam Deva Vashadubedam.
Who gave it to me? Devam. Devam means the laws of material nature in this case. Because Krishna has a law in this world. So one should come to this world in a particular form of body and one should live a certain time in that body and at the time after that he has to leave that body. That's what it mentions here.
Deva adabeda deva muda deva adabedam uda deva vashadubedam.
Material nature has given this. Devam has given it to us and Devam will take it away from us. That's all it is. A short period of time Krishna has given us this body.
Vaso yadha parigridam Madhira Mathandaha. Vaso yada parigradam Madhira Mathandaha.
What happens is that person is thinking, is more or less, comparison Krishna gives is like a person who is drunk. Madhira Mathandaha. A drunk person, he doesn't think about the clothes, does he? What to talk about the body also, he doesn't think really. That's why this, actually, we make fun of these drunk people, but more or less, they are more self-realized than us in that way.
Why I'm saying that is,
you see, one sannyasi told us this, that he was saying that the place where he was traveling, he noticed one man was getting every day drunk. Every single day, he was getting drunk. When evening comes, he gets drunk. And not only he gets drunk, from the pub where he was drinking and getting drunk, it was quite a 1 mile or so where he lived. So he had to walk this whole distance every day. Every day he had to walk this whole distance. So while walking, because he is drunk, he will fall down many times throughout the route. He'll fall many times. Every time he'll fall, he will get up and then he will walk. Again he will fall, again he will get up, then he will walk. Like this, he was doing this every single day. He never got hurt. Never once he got hurt. Always he's falling on the ground. Bangs his head, bangs his hands, bangs his legs, but nothing happens. Why? There is no bodily identity. Released from the body, freed from that. So this was happening. And our sannyasi was saying that one day by chance he lifted a chair or something, moved a little bit. Immediately this pain started. He got it here. He says, I have been practicing spiritual life for so long. I'm a sannyasi. And this is my situation with the body. Look at that man, he says. Every single day, he's falling me hundreds of times. He never gets hurt. Doesn't bother him at all. He doesn't go to hospital. Doesn't take any medicine. Every evening, takes this medicine every evening in the pub. And he gets cured like this. So, where are we?
Vaso yado parigridam madhiramathandaha.
Krishna is giving this beautiful example to make us realize, once you are released from the body, what it's like. That doesn't mean, he's not telling us you get drunk every day. Krishna is not saying that. And get yourself self-realized. That's not going to happen. That is a gross ignorance. But while comparing the position of a self-realized soul, because Ekadasham is all about liberation, isn't it? So therefore these things are important. Real liberation means freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses, freedom from the intelligence, and to be situated in our own real identity. That is why, while defining liberation, what did we say in the first kind, in the third kind, what did he say?
Muktihit anyadha rupam surubena vyavasthiti.
When we are properly situated, I mean, in our proper identity as spirit soul,
muktihit anyadha rupam surubena vyavasthiti.
In our pure spiritual identity, that is mukti, that is liberation. Liberation means to come to our proper identity, what we are. That is spiritual life. So, it is in that connection here, it is spoken also, that this freedom what Krishna has offered is for us too. And that is what Krishna wants us to achieve in life. Krishna wants us to take this point very seriously. Therefore, therefore it is said like that. The same verse appears in the third canto also, when Kapila Vasudev instructs Devahuti Devi. There are three or four verses there, all very beautiful verses, and it comes again in the 11th canto. So you can see the connection between third canto and the 11th canto throughout. So so Krishna gives a lot of importance to this. And in Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam is particularly centered around liberation. You will see also in the ninth canto of Bhagavadam, where would you receive this understanding? Therefore, in the Bhagavadam, so much importance is given to association with great souls. If you get the association of these kind of personalities, like Sadashiva Brahmendra, you can imagine what will happen. A moment of association with such personality is enough. Because along with that, our ignorance also goes away. When we come to contact with them, our ignorance goes away. We also become very, very completely freed from the bodily identity. We get such an experience in life. This Sadashiva Brahmendra had many devotees, his own devotees. And while leaving this planet, the devotees told him, asked him, because they saw his powers, they requested him if they could also be present at the same time when he was leaving this world. So in order to fulfill their desire, he had one disciple in Karachi, in Pakistan. At that time, India was not broken. India and Pakistan didn't, there was only one country. Pakistan didn't exist. So that time, people moved freely from Pakistan to India, India to Pakistan. So this, he had one disciple, you can say disciple or a devotee, who was living in Karachi. And he had one disciple, one devotee in Mathura, in Tamil Nadu, who also wanted to be with him at the time of leaving this world. So, and he gave up this body in another place in Tamil Nadu when he left this world. So what did he do? At the time of leaving the body, he was present in three different places, same time. In his own place where he gave up the body, in Mathura, as well as in Karachi. In three different places, all his devotees experienced his departure. They were all seeing him leaving the world at the same time. All great acharyas could do such things because of their spiritual realized state. They were capable of doing such things. It's just important point to note that the siddhis or the they are all jnanis, they are all yogis, they are all devotees as well. All of them in these great personalities. So, in the Bhagavadam, there is an interesting statement about this. If you look in the ninth canto, King Bhagiratha was, therefore Bhagiratha went to perform penances to bring Ganga River to this earth, isn't it? He brought Ganga River to this earth. For thousands of years he performed penances, and with the help of Lord Shiva, he managed to bring Ganga River to this planet. Ganga River is nothing but the water that has washed Krishna's lotus feet. So because of his prominence, we know the value of Ganga River, bathing in Ganga River, the purity we acquire, and the importance of Ganga River from the spiritual point. So in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the statement about Ganga River. When Bhagiratha was performing penances, Ganga River refused to come to this world. What was her answer? Her answer was, if I come there, all kinds of sinful people will come. Sinful people will come and they will bathe in this water and they will pollute me. I don't want that association. She said to him, to Bhagiratha, King Bhagiratha. Because Bhagiratha brought her here, she is called Bhagirathi also. Ganga River has got another name, Bhagirathi, because of that. So King Bhagiratha heard this from Ganga Devi, and she refused to come. And you should see the answer what Bhagiratha has told her. If you look into the ninth canto, you will see there, in the ninth canto, it is chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. There he says that, Bhagiratha Uvacha, King Bhagiratha is saying this in answer to this refusal from Ganga River. Ganga Devi said to Bhagiratha, I couldn't come because what's going to happen there is that these sinful people will come and bathe in me and they will spoil me. I don't want their association, she says to him. So Bhagiratha is saying to her, Sathavo Nyasina Shanda Brahmishta Lokapavana Harandyekam Te Angasangal Te Shastwe Kabhidhari Te Shastwe Kabhidhari Sadho Nyasina Shanda Brahmishta Loka Bhavana. My dear mother, if you come to the Bharavarsham and come and flow here, what will happen is, you are thinking only sinful people will come and bathe in you. No. Who else will come? Sadhavo Nyasina Shanda Brahmishta Loka Bhavana. Great personalities move in Bharavarsham. Such great yogis like Sadashiva Brahmendra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so many other great people will come and bathe in your water. So, Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani, when such people bathe in you, who are these sinful people? What effect will they have on you? So, if you don't come, you are the loser, not me. He says to her like this. He says, Harandyakham te angasangal te shaste habhidhari. Angasangam means you will get an opportunity to associate with these great personalities. They are coming to you to give their association. You don't have to even go there. So if you look back into the history and look how many great souls are bathed in Ganga. Imagine that. All the great acharyas, great devotees, great yogis, great jnanis, great siddhas. You can't avoid anyone. You cannot eliminate anyone in the whole country, anywhere in the list, who have not bathed in Ganga River. So she felt that he was totally justified. If she hadn't come, she would have missed the opportunity of all their association. You see? Sathavo Nyasina Shanda Brahmishta Loga Bhavana. Sathavo means great souls, great advanced devotee. Nyasina, great sannyasis, acharyas. Shandaha Brahmishtaha. One who are totally realized souls, they all come and bathe in your water. And you don't want it, then don't come. You see? You don't want it, don't come. When Bhagiratha said this, Ganga Devi immediately jumped up and said, I am coming. And she arrived. And that's how importance of that one has to remember also. The glory of Ganga. Now, along with that, in these so many things to remember here. In Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna is speaking about liberation, he gives importance to those people who give liberations important, who give importance to liberation. He speaks about them. Others is not important. Simultaneously, Krishna also reminds us how important it is to take liberation seriously. Because our conditioned mind, the nature of the mind is such, we have no desire for liberation. Our conditioned state is like that. We don't think liberation is worthwhile pursuing. Once it so happened, one lady used to go and talk to in front of the deity. Every day she will pray to the deity, please give me liberation, give me liberation, give me liberation. So the pujari was hearing this every day. I probably said this before also. That he was hearing this every single day, this lady coming and loudly asking the deity to give her liberation from material life and all that. And pujari could see she was not all that sincere what she was praying for. So one day he said, I'll make a joke about it. What he did was he went and sat behind the deity. So when she started coming and started making her request, from behind the deity he said, come around 12 o'clock after the midday offering, you can have liberation, he said. So she thought that the deity is speaking to her, thinking that seeing her sincere prayers. And she got frightened, I'm going to get liberated. Up to this, every single day, she was asking for liberation. And right now, when the liberation was offered, she doesn't want it. The excuse she has given to the deity at that time, she said, I have to pick up the children from the school, and I have to do my shopping in Sainsbury's or whatever. And then after that, let me pass some more time. And then, this is how we are. This is us. That lady is representing us. Actually, our desire for liberation is like that. For such people, Ekadasha Skandam won't help. That also you have to remember. For them, Ekadasha Skandam is, they are not ready for Ekadasham. Ekadasham is for people who are serious about spiritual life, who have come to that understanding that Jnanam and Vairagyam, the two sons of Bhakti, the two children of Bhakti, who are the limbs of Bhakti, if they have to develop that knowledge is an Ekadasham. If they have to develop devotion, bhakti, because without the mother, without bhakti, these two things won't be there, isn't it? Jnanam and Vairagyam will be there only if there is bhakti. Bhakti is a mother. If the mother is there, only then the children can exist, isn't it? So Jnanam and Vairagyam are the two children, and they will exist when there is bhakti. Proper Jnanam and proper Vairagyam will be there for those people. That is why it is spoken like that. So Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about these personalities who have that intense desire for liberation from the material life. So freedom from this body, mind, senses, intelligence, false ego, everything. Once for all, go back home, back to Krishna, spiritual position, spiritual identity. That's what Bhagavatam is talking about. So while referring to this, Krishna talks about certain important things. Important things at this point. Why I'm saying all these things now is that when we come to the discussion of the nine yogis with the King Nimi, unless we have the background of all what they are talking about, we will also won't get affected by the thoughts of the great yogis. Because they talk on that level. And we are completely conditioned. We think that it is something which we don't understand. We have no connection with that. No, it's not like that. It is something very as much applicable to us as anybody else. So, Krishna is saying there, in the Bhagavatam you will see this, that in the creation process, I have given some special consideration to human body, isn't it? Some special consideration to human body. No other body has got this opportunity of going back home, back to Godhead, unless except in the human body. No other body has got that. No other body has got that. What to speak about anything else? Every other body you will find horizontal bodies, isn't it? Animals and all everything if you take, it's like that. Or other bodies are less developed. In the animal bodies you find mostly the head and then the mind and then the stomach and then the excretion system, all in a horizontal level. All in a horizontal level. What about human body? It's just the different things. You see the situation? We've got the head on the top. Below that we have got the mind. Below God we have got the stomach. And below that we have got the genital. What is that message? What message does it give? It gives us, tells us, Using the head, control the mind. Using the mind, control the stomach. And using that, controlling the stomach, control the genitals. In other words, this body has got this special benefit. If utilized properly, this is the vehicle, best space vehicle to get out of this material world. In other words, that is why this body is important. And Krishna refers to this in the Bhagavadam in a particular word he uses. Brahmavalokadishanam udamabhadevaha. Brahmavalokadishanam, that is the topic, what is discussed in Ekadasham. What is that Brahmavalokadishanam? Brahmavalokadishanam means, Dishana means intelligence. Avalokanam means to see through the proper intelligence. What? The absolute truth. So, this human body is capable of Brahmavalokadishanam udamapadevaha. Brahmavalokadishanam is possible in human body, which is not possible in any other body. You see, even if they want it, they can't have it. Say for example, in a particular body, they cannot cultivate spiritual life. Human body has got that special ability to do that. Brahmavalokadishanam udamavadevaha. So therefore this body has been created for this purpose. For what? For self-realization. It's not been created to become a prime minister or a president or something else, some position in this world. That's not the goal of this body's creation. This body has been created for this purpose. And when somebody uses it for that purpose, Krishna is pleased. That is what pleases Krishna. Nothing else. Brahmavalokadishanam udamabhadevaham. And if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, those verses, what what Krishna says about that is that in the 9th chapter, that verse appears in the 9th chapter. Let me read that verse because it's such an important verse. Yes. Srishtva purani vividhani ajayatma shaktya vrikshan sari sriva pashun khagadamsha malsyan taisai atushta hridaya purusham vidhaya brahmavalokadishanam udamabhadevaha. This is the words. Srishtva purani vividhani ajayatma shaktya. Brahma started creation. He started creation. Srishtva purani vividhani ajayatma shaktya. And the creation progressed very much. What happened? Prakshan sari sriva bashun khagadam shamalsyan. That is the sequence in which he is talking about. Srishtva sriban srishtva atmashaktya vrikshan sari sriva bashun khagadam shamalsyan. Vriksha means trees and animals, plants, trees, everything. And eventually the fish, aquatics, all that was been created. And Brahma was not happy because Brahma thought, I've created all this, that's fine. But what this body is going to bring ultimately? What will they do? They'll go, if it is a fish, he will run around the water for a certain number of years and he will die. And he'll go. Similarly, other animals also, all they will do is eating, sleeping, mating and defending. These four things. Nothing else these bodies will do. So Brahma felt very unhappy about this situation and Brahma was really concerned that I could not create a living entity which has some proper goal in life. Taisai atushta hridaya. He became very unhappy at that point. Who? Brahma. Taisai atushta hridaya purusham vidhaya. And seeing this, Brahma was looking for Krishna's mercy to help him in creation. And in creation, and that is how the human body was created. Brahma avalokadishanam udama abadevaha. At least when this body came out, human body came out, Brahma felt very pleased with that. Because he realized this body has got the capacity to do that if it wants it. So, from the creation point of view, this is the most important thing. What? Brahma avalokadishanam. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam is referring to. Taisthai radushta hridaya purusham vidhaya Brahma avalokadishanam udamabhadevaha. It is a very, very important verse in the Bhagavadam. And in Ekadasha Skandam, it is in the background of all this that rest of the things are spoken. Rest of the things, what is being spoken, is only when one appreciates this verse. when one recognizes this point, what Krishna is saying here to Uddhava. Taisei radushtakradaya purusham vidhaya brahmavalokadishanam udamavadevaha. So important that verse is, that in that background, if you look, you will see that how much important self-realization is. Without self-realization, the goal is not complete. The goal is self-realization, realizing and coming back to our original spiritual identity. Otherwise, all the other activities, what we do in spiritual life, is not complete till we reach the goal. The ultimate goal is clear about that. So, while discussing this point, so many things were spoken by Krishna to Uddhava also. He mentioned that, jikvaigato uvo apakarshati karkitarshal, shishno anyadastahudaram shravanam kudaschil, grano anyadaschabaladrikkoja karma shaktir, bahyasabadnyam iva gehavadim lunandi. This is another verse in the Ekadasham. Krishna got this verse from Prahlada. Prahlada gave it to Krishna. When Krishna came as Narasimha Murthy, Prahlada glorified Narasimha Murthy, isn't it? In Bhagavadam, you know, in the seventh canto, Prahlada's famous glorification. I mentioned this in the last time, that Srimad Bhagavadam, by hearing, if one is given that special grace from Krishna, mercy from Krishna, simply hearing Bhagavadam is sufficient to come out of the cycle of birth and death. That's the beauty of Srimad Bhagavadam. And to example of that, one of the best examples is our Prahlada Maharaj, Prahlada. While in the womb of the mother, Kayadhu, Sri Narada Maharshi comes and speaks to Prahlada in the womb. Remember, as I said before, Prahlada had no intelligence developed. Nobody can agree that Prahlada was so intelligent, he has not even developed his full body yet. Probably it is the 6th or 7th month, you can say, when Sri Narada Maharshi came and spoke to Prahlada. So the intelligence is not developed. Prahlada has not even developed the language either. Has he? He hasn't got the language. What will he understand when these things are spoken? How will he understand? He will not understand anything. So, he will not understand the language. He will not understand he didn't have the intelligence to understand what was being spoken. Nor the logic what Sri Narada Maharshi has put forward to Prahlada, he could not understand that either. Neither the logic, nor the intelligence, nor the language. Nothing was there in Prahlada. Prahlada was only a stage in his development, probably 6th or 7th month, inside the womb. And much later, after Prahlada came out from the womb, at the age of 5, when he talks to his friends at the Gurukula, where he was being educated by Hiranyakashipu. If you read Prahlad's instructions to his friends, you will be amazed at how such things can come from a boy, 5-year-old, who has not been even educated in the school, and who did not have the proper knowledge to explain things like this. You just have to take those verses in the 7th canto, where Prahlad has spoken these things. Prahlad talks about material nature, Prakriti, rules of material nature, Jagral, Swapnam, Sushupti, 3 avastha, avasthatrayam it's called, or the vacant state, deep sleep and dream state, and what happens to the soul. He also talks about the process of Krishna consciousness and importance of surrendering to Krishna. All these things were discussed by Prahlad. How did this happen? How could Prahlad speak like that? This is because the nature of transcendental knowledge is like that. By logic, you can't understand it. If you start logicizing, you won't reach there. You won't get anywhere with that. Then, by intellectual analysis, you can't understand it. You can't understand by intellectual analysis, nor by logic, you can understand that. Nor, if you are even a great Sanskrit scholar, you understand the language. Still, it may not have its effect. It will not have the effect. When Sri Narada Maharshi was instructing Kayadhu, the mother, was in deep sleep after hearing all this. She went to sleep. Nothing happened. Prahlada inside in the womb heard everything and it worked for him. So what is that that has caused to Prahlada to change, to make effect on Prahlada? Mainly because first reason is that this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam or the verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is pure transcendental knowledge in itself, is capable of changing a person's consciousness and revealing the knowledge to him if Krishna wants that to happen. So purely by sitting and listening to Bhagavatam, with a little bit of Krishna's grace, we also will achieve the same status like Parikshit did, like Prahlad did. That is what it is pointing out. Provided we get a little bit of Krishna's grace. If Krishna, but the language for that is Bhagavatam. The verses in the Bhagavatam is that which changes that. With that understanding, our process in spiritual life also becomes much easier. Only through that. This is why Shravanam, hearing process, is given so much importance in Bhagavatam, that keep hearing Bhagavatam, the verses in the Bhagavatam and the message in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who knows? One day, if good fortune, if Krishna wants it, this person has been hearing about me, and a very little from inside, Krishna is within everyone. If he dictates to us that let this knowledge have its effect on you, that's enough. It will automatically come into effect. There's nothing can stop that at that point. That is why Shravanam is given so much importance. You see, even if you look into this nine sages, when they are discussing the devotional process, Bhakti Yogam, the first question when Kavi was asking the question, what should one do to get out of the fear, isn't it? That will come later. So when he asked about that question, the Kavi Maharshi, the first sage, analyzed the issue from where the fear is coming from and what one should do to come out of the fear. So when he is discussing that, what one should do to come out of the fear, his answer was this: Shrinven Subhadrani Rathanga Banir Janmani Karmani Jayani Loge. First thing he starts with Shrinven here. Shrinven about what? Subhadrani Rathanga Banir Janmani Karmani Jayani Loge. Rathanga Bani, Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Shrinven Subhadrani Rathanga Banir. What? Janmani Karmani Jayani Loge. His birth, Krishna's birth, appearance in this world, Krishna's pastimes, his activities in this world. Constantly hear this all the time. You will never know when it will have its effect on us. One day, only due to our prarabdham, only due to our karmam, that we are unable to come out of our material existence. But simply by hearing about Krishna, it will purify us. That is the point, what is driven there. So, in relationship to that, Srinarayana Maharshi, here it is said, Narasimha Murthy was told by Prahlada this one verse. What did he say?
Jikhaigadochni vigarshadama vidrapta shishnonyadastagudaram shravanam kudaschil granonyadaschapanadrikvaja karma shaktir bahyasabadnim iva gehabadim lunandi.
That is the verse. Well, what does he say? Jikhaigadochuda Krishna. Prahlada is saying, Jihva, this tongue. It is something like a situation with one man with five wives. Five wives. These five senses are considered to be like five wives who are pulling him in five different directions. Imagine that. The tongue is saying to him that let me enjoy good food. I want to enjoy, taste good food. So he is pulling you to some nice restaurant to eat. And when it is pulling in that direction, the other senses, the eyes are saying, well, eating is good, you are satisfied one wife, what about me now? Drives us to a nice cinema theater to watch movies there, because I want to see something nice. So let's go to the theater. So he pulls us into that direction. When that is happening, is the other three wives sitting quiet? They are also not saying, they are saying, the ears are saying, look, it's a long time we had a nice opera or a visit to a concert or a theater. Let's go there, I want to hear some nice music, whatever the modern music, pop music or rap or whatever it is. What, for different people, different things, that's all. For an older person who is brought into the classical tradition, he may like an opera or something. But a young man likes his rap music. Whatever that is suits his taste, that's all. It's no difference. In either way, both are same equally in bad in one sense. So, these wives, they are pulling in different directions. And tongue, because it's got two functions, dual function, isn't it? It's not only eating, it also wants to talk as much as possible. So he wants associations, some social life, where he can go and talk all rubbish, whatever he wants to talk. So he wants that opportunity also, he wants to go for that. So this thing called jihwa, tongue, out of all the senses is the most powerful. So that's the first thing as Prahlad has spoken. Jihaiva dochana vigarshati ma vidrata shishno nidasta gudaram shravanam gudaschil. And then the last thing, the genitals, and also sex life, desire for that is also very strong. But if these five senses disturb you, that is, you can somehow do something about it. But there is something more powerful than that within us. What is that? In the five senses, we are not included the nose. Nose also wants its share, isn't it? So that is telling us that, walk into Heathrow Airport, watch into all sorts of duty-free. And duty-free means what? Perfumes, isn't it? What else is there? Visit one after the other, every single one. And which is on sale, which is not on sale. And never satisfied. And the cost of all, each one of those items, if you buy to satisfy your so-called this man, how much sacrifice you have to make. That is also gossip, but all that you can tolerate still. But there is something more than that. Jikvaiga dochada vigarshadi ma vidratta shishno nidasagudaram shravanam kutaschil grano nidaschabaladrik chabaladrik. The eye is always looking for something to look at, nice. Anything, whatever nice placing, I want to have a look at that. Grano nidaschabaladrik. Then the worst thing is all. Kocha karma shaktir bhakya sabadnim ivageha vadim lunandi. That's what it is. Karma shakti. What is that karma shakti means? Karma shakti means it is the most dangerous thing in life because you can't resist. That's how it is. Sometimes people get pushed. Pushed by what? Their own nature. Isn't it? And then they don't know what to do. They can't stop it. They have to do it. They have to run around the whole world for something or the other. Some name, some pretext, they will run around. They think they are saving the world by doing this. This is, actually, it is their own, that karma vasana inside is pushing them. They cannot stay in one place. That is the difficulty. If they stay in one place, after a few days they get fed up. Because the mind is not properly absorbed. So what do they do next thing? Oh, let me save the whole world, go around everywhere, preach, I have to do this, I have to do that. Krishna has never said all these things, it has to be like this. Why do we do that? Because this karma shakti. The power of karma in us, because in us what is called this karma vasana is very, very strong. It won't allow you to sit in one place. Unless you run around, you won't be pleased. That is the reality. That's the reality of this world. That is what is pushing us to do all these kind of things. And this makes everything very difficult. Because when you are so much absorbed in all these material activities, any activity for that matter, you are not peaceful enough to acquire this transcendental message of Bhagavatam. It is very difficult. There is no relaxed life. Everyone is so busy with everything, one thing or the other. Where is the question of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and to reflect on the topics discussed in the Bhagavatam? There is no possibility. Strictly speaking, Krishna has also spoken about this later to Uddhava. Uddhava, as far as saving this world and all is concerned, forget it. Even I have tried to save this world, I couldn't save it. That is how Krishna has openly spoke to Uddhava. Because the very nature of this world by creation is like that. Then you can't do anything here. Even if you try to do something, as soon as you leave, the whole thing will go back to its own state. So, right thing for a living entity is to first to see what this human body has been given to me for self-realization. Realize the self. Once you have realized the self, all the problems of the world is automatically solved. Because it's only when you identify with the body, the problems of the world exist.
Otherwise, the world problems doesn't exist. Because we are not realized the self, and because we are identifying with the body, every problem in the world exists for us. Is it not? Just like we talk about, as soon as there is a natural disaster, at the moment it is floods, floods everywhere. And we are affected by the floods. And we are thinking that, oh, what should we do? We have to help them. And we have to collect funds from so many other places, bring the funds and support them. These floods will come, earthquake will come after that. And after that something, cyclone will come. So, adhyatmikam, adibhaudikam, adidevikam. These three things eternally exist in this world along with Maya. They exist here. And they will continuously disturb the living entity in the material body in this world. And you cannot offer any solution, I cannot offer any solution, no one can offer any solution on that bodily understanding, bodily level. The only solution Krishna is answering here is that I have given you this body whereby by utilizing this body you can come out of this bodily existence. That is what's more, that is why liberation is given so much importance. Sensualization is given so much importance because of this. Whole life I ran around the whole world visiting places, doing this, doing that, and thinking that I am now liberated, I'll be the biggest fool to think that. You cannot, this modern lifestyle itself is the greatest impediment, that everyone is so busy with so many things. There is no peace at all, either in the mind, or there is not even a relaxed lifestyle. So the very lifestyle itself is so much a impediment in spiritual life for us. And we, on the other hand, what do? We come to spiritual life and make it more complex. More complicated than already it is enough complicated. And we are unable to, and then there is no time for anything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. 16 rounds finished, I've done my bit, now it's up to Krishna. If we live a spiritual life like this, that spiritual life will go like that for the rest of the life. And at the end of the life, Krishna says about that one important point in the Bhagavadam. He says, Shramastasya Shramaphalam. You have spent all your energy in doing this. And what did you gain? Whatever time you have spent, that's it. That's all you got from that. Shramastasya Shramaphalam. He says like this. In the Ekadasham, that is what Krishna talks about it. So, first thing in spiritual life is to be relaxed in life. Actually, we are all fooled and cheated by the modern society. Because for a higher purpose, Krishna has given us this body. To use it for a higher goal. And this is only possible in this body. Unfortunately, the modern society and the lifestyle is forcing us to engage in activities which are not beneficial at all. And human nature is like that. That what everybody else does, we also want to do that. Isn't it? Everybody is buying Harry Potter. What is it? Harry Potter. We should also buy Harry Potter. Like this we are. We are like that. In Shastram, there is a word for that. It's called Meshanugaranam. Meshanugaranam means like a goat. Like a goat. Goats do like this. Everything what we do in life is like this. Everyone is going for this guru, I'll also go for that guru. So this is how we are. What can we do? This is our understanding of spiritual life. In everything, whatever you take, human nature is like that. So you can't do anything about it. There's an interesting story about that. That once it so happened that a schoolboy, he was taught mathematics by the teacher. So the teacher was saying to the child, asking questions. He was trying to teach arithmetic to the child. So one farmer has got 10 goats, he said. And these 10 goats, they were put, a fence was put around them, all the 10 goats were inside. Out of that, he opened the gate and 4 of them came out from there. So how many are left inside the fence, he said. He closed the gate after that. How many are left there inside? The teacher asked one child, who was only 5 or 6 years old. The child said, none, he said. Child answered, none, he said. So the teacher got angry. He took the stick. He wanted to beat him. He said, leave that stick there, he said. The child very politely told the teacher, leave the stick there. Let's talk about it, he said. I am the son of a farmer. I have seen. You let one goat out, that's enough. The 9 will follow that straight away. Not one will stay inside. This is called Meshanugaranam. Meshanukaranam means this, that like everybody does, I'll also do the same thing. As soon as we come to the world, is not that what we do throughout life? We do go through the same system of schooling and same process of getting married, same process of getting the mortgage, same process of getting a job, same process of... Is this life only worth all this, doing all these kind of things? And the same hospital we end up also and die at the end. Is that worthwhile? He said, that is why Krishna is saying here that this body is capable of doing something better than all these things, what we are discussing here. So, Meshanikaranam is such an important thing. A spiritually intelligent person will not fall into this trap. He will escape from this somehow. Or in other words, even if he has to do materially anything here, at the same time, goal is not all these things. This is not all our goal, all these kind of things. Like getting mortgage and getting married and getting family and getting a job. These are not the end of life. This is only in this body for maintenance. We need money. We have to do something and whatever convenient, we have to do it and live with that. But Ekadasya Skandam is taking us something higher than all these things. That's why it is so important. Jikvai gado chuda vikarshati ma vidratta shishno nyadastha gudaram shravanam kudaschil grano nyadascha baladrikvaja karma shaktir bhakya sabadnim iva gehapatim lunandi. Gehabadim lunandi, it is the householder's position, it says. Out of all that, it is this karma shakti that is the most difficult thing to control. Because what we normally do is, when our mind is pushing us to do something, to go here, go there, do this, do that, we will find some justification to do that. You see, we'll find some justification. I'll say, oh, Prabhu, I have to go here because I have to preach there, so I have to be there. And things like this, I'm saving the world. So many people are is saving the world. I'm also one of them who is saving this world. So in this false pretext, in other words, we are thinking that this is my duty and I impose it upon myself. Why? Karma Shakti is coming out from inside. I'm thinking I have no time to sit peacefully and to understand Srimad Bhagavatam or to chant the holy name. Why? Because I'm busy saving the world. What can I do? So, karma shakti. Again, the same thing inside. Karma shakti is impelling me or compelling me to go in that way. And that is very difficult to control. Even if you control the senses, this thing called karma shakti is very, very hard. That is, Krishna is bringing this out to Uddhava. Because to tell us that how powerful the body is. Rajodigaha karma paraha. Karma param. Karma is our main business in this world. We have come here to do karma. So how can you stop that? It's very difficult, isn't it? Karma is our primary objective. We have come here to do... As soon as we walk in, what do we think? Oh, I got to do this, I have to do that. I have to sort this out, sort that out. There's so much to do in this world before I leave this world. And this is the illusion of what we are all in. So, Ekadasya Skandam is pointing out to this fact. Jihvai gado chidi vikar sharima vidratta shishno yadastagudaram shravanam kudaschil grano nyadaschabiradrikvaja karma shaktir bhakhyasapatnim iva gehabadim lunandi. That is what one has to remember. All these things in the background of discussing this liberation. School children also, you see, when you see the school children also, sometimes you feel very sorry about their life also. It's very difficult in the modern world for the school children also. They have been loaded with so much which is not really helpful in spiritual advancement. But in the name of a structured education or whatever we call it, all sorts of things are being given to them. Once it so happened that one child, sometimes when we went to school, it was not so bad like today. Like day by day it's getting worse. But those days there were not so many subjects to study. Now the adults have only one job, to create more subjects for the children to study. That's what the experts said. And in the name of development and all kinds of thing, we create more new topics and lot of new books are written about that. And we want the children to develop with this understanding also. So what happens? When we were children, we used to go to school and we used to watch the cows standing there. They had no pressure to go to school. They didn't have to carry a bag full of books on the back and walk to school. They were sitting there eating the grass peacefully morning to night and going and sleeping comfortably. No disturbances. We morning to night busy with this acquiring so-called education. So once it so happened, one child was intelligent. He was seeing this all the day, every single day he was observing this. That everyone else is, all animals don't suffer like me, he was thinking. That even I have been forced, parents are putting pressure, society is putting pressure, teachers are putting pressure, from everywhere pressure is coming on me for getting whatever high grades, whatever that, what they want anyway, whatever it is. So this happens. So one day, he was watching and he saw one person has put a rope in the throat of a goat, in the neck, and he was pulling that goat somewhere. So the boy asked his mother, the goat was constantly crying all the time. So the child asked his mother, what is this, sir? What is he doing to that goat? Why is he crying like that? So the mother said that this man is going to take that goat to a slaughterhouse, and he's going to be slaughtered there, and the goat knows about it. Goats, all the animals know before they're being slaughtered that they're going to get slaughtered. So the goat knows, that's why the goat is crying like this, she said. So the child says to her, is that all what he's crying for? I thought he is taking the goat to school or something. This is what it is today. I thought he's taking the child to a school, because that is in his mind as the greatest punishment in this world. Even slaughtering is not so bad, he thought. The child thought even the slaughtering is not so bad like this punishment to the schooling. So this is what where we are at. So why I'm saying all these things is, Ekadasha Skandham is telling us, don't waste a human life. Human life has got something capable of doing something higher than all these things. Going to school, getting a mortgage, getting married, having a job. These are all ordinary people's life in this world. But those who are serious about liberation and coming out of this material existence, it is for them Ekadasha Skandham. Ekadasha Skandham is addressed to them, not for others. So therefore, a lot of things what Krishna has spoken will only make sense if one comes to that consciousness. Otherwise, if we normal in our mind is all the time, we are adjusting our material life all the time, isn't it? And in that consciousness, if we study Ekadasham, we will think, this is something not for me at this stage in life. Maybe later we'll see when it comes at the old age. Or also it's not practical. That's what the answer we give, isn't it? Nothing is practical for us. What's practical for us, what suit says. That's what's practical. So that's how we will reject. We'll tend to reject Ekadasha Skandham in that way. So Krishna is saying there that, as I mentioned above, in time and again, occasionally, Krishna sends such personalities to this world to show it to us that another life exists, a higher life with a higher understanding of things. So that is what is our guideline. That's our. These are these great souls who come to this world, who preach Krishna consciousness in its pure form for ordinary conditioned people who are engaged in this kind of activities, and to inspire them to take to spiritual life and to finish once for all this life of material life, this business of material life once for all. That's the goal behind all this presenting Srimad Bhagavatam to us. So, Brahmavalokadishanam Udamavadevaha. If you look at it, say for example a bus and an aeroplane, right? Both of them can move, but there is something extra. The designers or the engineers have fitted in the aeroplane, whereby it's able to fly rather than just travel on the ground. Whereas bus and the aeroplane both takes fuel, both travel, but both can travel, both can move from A to B. But aeroplane can fly, whereas the bus can only move. Similarly, in the human body also, Krishna has put something very special there. And that is this, what is called Brahmavalokadishanam. Brahmavalokadishanam, I mentioned before, the ability to understand liberation. What is freedom from material existence? And to see the truth behind it. That is Brahmavalokadishanam. So that capacity is given to only to human body. That special equipment is fitted inside here. Krishna has fitted that. Can't ask where it is and show it to me and all that. That is no meaning. But that facility is there in the human body. That is what I was trying to say. That's what Rajaskandam is talking about. No other human body has, no other body has got this special capability of Brahmavalokadarshanam, of inquiring after the truth, spiritual truth. So that's why it's important.
So coming back to Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll see here that Krishna is saying here, avyahadeshtakadaya surasiddha sadhya gandharva yakshana ragin nara nagalogan bukta ascharandi municharana bhudanada vidhyadara dvijagavam bhuvanani kamam ta ekadanime satram ubajangma ridruchaya vidaya manavashubi ajanabhe mahalpana.
It is the arrival of these nine sages.
Tan drishtva surya sangashan mahabhagavadan mruba ejamana agnayo vipra sarva evo obadastire.
So our king Nimi saw these nine personalities arriving.
Surya Sankashan, Mahabhagavadan Rupa. Surya Sankashan.
They were so effulgent when they arrived. They were so effulgent. They looked really personalities from the spiritual world, in other words, because of their realization.
Ejamana Agnayo Vipra Sarvamevo Obadastine.
When they arrived in Yagashala, in the sacrifice, the fire is burning. So the fire automatically started glowing in a much bigger way. It started glowing in a big way on because of their arrival at that time.
Videhasthana vipretya narayana parayanan prida sambhujaya anchakre asanasthan yatharhada.
That when King Nimi saw them, he immediately offered obeisances to them, and sensing that they are very, very special people, and offered them a place to sit and wash their feet and with the proper etiquette welcome them. That is how, what he is showing to us, how to welcome with proper etiquette that great personalities who have arrived.
Prida sambhujaya chakre asanasthan yatharhada.
They were offered seats according to their position. And they were
tan rajamanan suruja brahmaputra bhaman nava papracha paramam prida prashrayavanado nrupaham.
That after inquiring about them and the way King Nimi Videha received them is very important, because he showed due respect to them and raised certain questions to them. And while raising these questions, he did not show like a materialist or a mundane personality. He didn't ask any question. Look at the questions he has asked. It just shows that how intelligent that king was. How intelligent that king was. Because such questions cannot come from ordinary people. Ordinary people, what will they ask? They will ask probably how to win a lottery, or how to make some more money in this world, how to enjoy senses. This is the kind of questions ordinary people will ask. Which is the best hotel to eat? Some people inquiring. You can see sometime. Can you tell me some good place to eat where I can eat? This is the inquiry. His inquiry is in that level. Or his inquiry is, which is the best football match I should go to? This is the ordinary mundane inquiries. But Videha Maharaj, King Nimi's inquiries, if you see, they are not ordinary inquiry. That is why it says here,
Papracha Parama Prida Prashraya Vanado Nrupam.
That he was so pleased by their arrival that he felt that he should ask something very serious. So a person who is inquiring after liberation has to be serious in spiritual life. That is first requirement. Otherwise, all this won't make any sense to him. It will be another. So that seriousness is what's being generated here.
Videha Vacha.
So there are four verses. If you read through these four verses, you will see what kind of personality Videha was, King Nimi was. The word itself, Videha, means all those kings who appeared in that place, in Mithila, they were all liberated souls. In other words, at the end of their life, they were liberated and they have gone back to the spiritual world. It was guaranteed. Videha means one who is not in the bodily concept of life. That's what is Deha. Deha means material body. So they had no identification with material body. Because of that, they were always Videha Vyaja. They were all called Videha, King Videha. Sita Devi's father, King Janaka, they were all Videha. They were liberated souls. Because, why did that happen? Because of Sita Devi appearing in that family. And Ramachandra marrying Sita Devi. That is why in the Bhagavadam, if you remember, we discussed this in the ninth canto. Sri Sukadeva Goswami, Sri Shugan says about this. That because of this Ramachandra's appearance in that family, all those kings who appeared in that family later were all householders at the time, same time they were all liberated. Imagine that. They were all householders, none of them were sannyasis. They were all householders, but they were all liberated. This is how Sudeva Goswami glorifies them. Sudeva Goswami, who is a realized personality, who is actually a brahmachari, is praising a householder like this. So imagine what their position is. Jaraka Maharaj's position is King Videha, King Nimi. So it is that king who is asking. So it is no wonder that such questions have come from him. This won't come from an ordinary king. It will only come from kings of that personal stature.
Manye Bhagavata Sachal Parshadanvo Matidvishaha Vishnor Bhudani Loganam Pavanaya Charandihi. Manye Bhagavata Sachal Parshadanvo Matidvisha Vishnor Bhudani Loganam Pavanaya Charandihi.
He says to them that I think that you have come from the spiritual world, in other words. And imagine, we are able to tell someone, oh, you're coming from spiritual world. We'll say, oh, you're coming from Barnet or Ilford. This is what we are used to, isn't it? But telling somebody, looking at, oh, you're coming from spiritual world, imagine that day when it comes to our life also, that able to address someone that you are coming from spiritual world. So, because for as far as we are concerned, such a thing not even exists in our dreams, isn't it? Thing called spiritual world. We talk about spiritual world, but how much does it exist? So, in other words, he says here, Pavanaya manye bhagavata sakshal parshadanvo madidvishaham, that I assume that you are the associates of Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parshadanvo madidvishaham, then Vishnor bhudani lokanam pavanaya charandihi. I assume that Vishnor Bhudani Loganam Pavanaya Charandihi, you are traveling in this world and in order to save people. Vishnor Bhudani Loganam, that in order to bless the devotees and to give them some opportunity of your association. I assume that you had come for that purpose. Pavanaya Charandihi, that you are traveling around because of this reason, only for this reason, in order to give your association to some people and to give them an opportunity to escape from this. This is what I feel about you. He openly glorified them like this. Naturally, in other words, to show a recognition to someone according to their position requires intelligence, isn't it? He didn't tell them that, how did you come? How was the flight? When you arrived here, would you like to go for sightseeing somewhere? This kind of topics never came up in the discussion. Rather, he first glorified them, telling them that you had come to give us some your valuable association, which will help people like us. That's how he started with like them. Then, Pavanaya Charandihi. In other words, he's saying to them, I've got 9 of you. And 9 of you, it's like 9 treasures for me. 9 treasures. But it actually is more than 9 treasures, he says. 9 treasures is like nithi, nithigumpham. Nithigumpham means treasures. So these 9 treasures, it's like wealth you got. Unexpectedly a lot of wealth came. But that is also its own limitations. That will leave you one day. Your association is much more than that for me. This is why King Nimi spoke about that to them. So saying this, he says to them, Durlabhom Pavanaya Charandihi, only for purifying the world you are travelling here.
Manye Bhagavadas Durlabhom Anusho Deham Dehinam Kshanabanguram Tatrabi Durlabham Manye Vaigunda Priyadarshanam.
Next verse. Durlabhom Anusho Deham. We talked about this so much time. Manusho Deham means human body is a very, very rare thing. Krishna has given so much importance to this human body. And he has given us this opportunity also to go back to the spiritual world using this body. That is the importance of this human life. And that is what he is acknowledging here. He says here, Durlabham Anusho Deham. It is a very, very rare thing to get this human body after going through 8.4 million different species of life. To get the human body, one has to be very fortunate. And because in this human body, one can attain the goal, achieve the goal of the human body, which is the going back to the getting out of material existence. Then, Dehinam Kshanabanguram, And that human body what I have got is Kshanabhanguram. Kshanabhanguram means it can only last such a short time. In relationship with time, this time is a very confusing thing for many, many people, isn't it? Because in the conditioned life, we think about time. Time and space, two things. We think about it. And moment you apply this in spiritual life, you will be lost. Time and space, if you apply in spiritual life, you will be lost. Often we make this mistake also. We start reading Bhagavatam. And then we start thinking, in relationship, Bhagavatam is saying like this. In Satyayugam this happened. In Kritayugam it's happened. Dwaparayugam it's happened. Kaliyugam we are here now. So, number of years we have calculated all, using our calculator or whatever. And then we are checking all these things, what's spoken in the Bhagavatam. Is it falling in line with our calculations? If it's not falling in line, we get a bit disturbed over it. We start thinking, why is it correct what he is saying? See, think about time and space. These are two important things when we come take to spiritual life. Very, very important things. In Jagrat, in Swapnam, in Sushupti, we exist. Isn't it? We exist. In Jagrat, in Swapnam, in Sushupti, we exist. In Jagrat, we experience so many things throughout the day. 8 to 10 hours. We are awake, so-called awake. Sometimes we are not even awake, but so-called awakened state. And in that time, for our convenience, we have created these clocks, time measuring instruments, watches, everything, just to measure the time so that we can function in this world. Isn't it? So we call that as the time. This is what is called time. Strictly speaking, a thing called time doesn't exist. But in order for us to function in this world, we have created a measuring system, what is called time. Now, the moment you move from Jagrat to dream state, this outside world doesn't exist for you. You are finished with this. Body is lying there. You are in another world, in your subtle body, in subtle consciousness. You live in another world. And that world, the measuring time is different completely. Why? Because some of the experiences what you had in this world, in the vacant state, for hours or days or months together, can be finished in the dream state in 10 or 15 minutes. So which time is the correct time? Is the time in the Jagrat correct, or is the time in the dream state correct? Which one will you call it as the proper time to measure? Neither of them are correct. Because it's both coming from our own creation. We have created these timings. So mistakenly we have identified with the body, with this our vacant state so much, that everything else we start measuring from the vacant state parameters or criteria, and we fall into problems all the time. So first thing we have to give up is this concept of time as far as the bodily life is concerned. That only suits our body this time. It doesn't suit the spirit at all. Spiritual life cannot be run on the basis of the material clocks and timings. That doesn't work like that. Sometimes we think a couple of hours to chant 16 rounds, I've chanted it. But the spiritual life is not like that. That's another illusion. Spiritual life means we exist eternally. We have allotted 2 hours for spiritual life. Why? Because under the bodily concept of life, we are thinking, I've got, say, 60 years life or 70 years life. And in 70 years, I've started chanting only recently, say 10 years ago or 15 years ago. So even if I chant whole lifetime, how many hours, how many rounds will I finish? All these kind of calculations goes through our head. What Krishna is telling us that if you leave that concept of life because it is associated with the body, and if you come to spiritual life properly, you have any amount of time you want. Never-ending time is available for you. There is no need to feel anxiety about time as far as spiritual life is concerned. It's not going to come to an end. What is important is to get out of this bodily identity and come to the spiritual consciousness, spiritual identity to acquire. Once that's acquired, there is no concern about time. Where is the question of time? Similarly, in relationship with the space also, normally our tendency is we are stuck in this body, isn't it, material body. And so long as you are in the material body, you are always thinking in relationship with the space for the body. The body moves from here to say to London, from Lajmohi to London. So you consider this distance as important in relationship with the body. In relationship with the body only it is important, nothing to do with the spirit. The spirit soul is all pervading. It is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is present everywhere. For him, where can he move? Because everything what exists is in him. So where will he move? So this relation, once you come to the spiritual platform, on spiritual identity, the time and space has no meaning. That has to be completely given up. That has no, you can't subject Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any other Vedic literature, because the sages are too intelligent. They are too clever. They know our nature very much. And therefore they will warn us all the time not to fall into that trap. This trap of so-called intelligence, time, space and all that. The scientists and all have fallen into that trap. That's why they're finding it very difficult with the spiritual understanding. They've fallen into that trap. They're thinking that their so-called measuring processes of time and space is all what's correct. Everything else is false for them, isn't it? Because they don't accept anything else. Whereas from the spiritual point, the sages, they knowing very well that easily human mind can fall into that trap, they have warned us about it at different times in different ways. You can see this in all the Ramayanam. I can give you the best example. You see, in Ramayanam, if you look, you know how long King Dasharatha was ruling the planet? It says something like 50,000 years he was ruling the planet. 50,000 years he was ruling the planet. In Tredayagam, because their lifespan at that time was how much? It was about quite a long period they had. So, 100,000 years or something like that. So anyway, a very long lifetime, and he ruled the planet for 50,000 years. In 50,000 years, Lord Ramachandra had to go to forest for 14 years. So compare 14 years to 50,000. Is that a big time? 14 years, nothing, is it? 14 years is like 15 minutes compared to 50,000 years. So not to fall into this trap of time and get affected by that, in Ramayanam also you will see such statements. In all our Vedic literature, because this, our tendency is, normally, is to take these things very seriously, time factor, and check it, whether it's correct or not. We will do everything. This is how our mind will go. There's nothing we can do about it. That's the way we are conditioned. But that is not the message of Ramayanam. How many years he ruled, how many years Ramachandra went to forest. These are not the important things. What we should learn from Ramayanam is, what has Ramachandra got to say to this world? What Lakshmana had to say to this world? What Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, had to say to this world in Mahabharatam? These are the important things. And that is the message of the sages. But in order to keep us all absorbed in this, all these things were spoken in a way that we still get absorbed. Otherwise, suppose, simply if the message was given to us, you know what will happen? Nobody will listen. It's only the message was spoken. Because the message is in the Ekadasham. This is why I'm saying this. Ekadasha Skandham is only the message. So if you start speaking only the message, after a while we will think, oh, this is all too much. It's all, either it is not possible to make it, or we will say that it's a story, Vedavyasa has written, or Sudeva Goswami has spoken some story, and we will reject it. Our tendency will be to reject everything. We are like that. We will reject, very easily we will reject. See, this mind has one nature. Mind has got what is known as layam and vikshepam, two qualities of the mind. Everybody has. Layam means, if it cannot capture something, or if it cannot hold on to something, it will go into sleep straight away. Straight away it will fall into sleep. That is why it is so important that when we listen to Bhagavatam or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, often people fall into sleep. Fall into sleep. Why? Because the mind is not able to take it. It's not able to absorb it. So this will happen. If it gets interested, then it will hold on to it. It won't leave it. So this difficulty with the mind is always there. So therefore, in the Bhagavadam also, and in the Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, everywhere you will find this, that things are spoken in such a way to keep us interested in the subject, at the same time to get the right message inside, so that we take it seriously. The message is something higher than all these things. Whether Ramachandra went to forest 14 years, 15 years, 16 years, what does it matter to us? What matters to us is, what has Ramachandra taught this world? Because they have come here. Krishna came to this world with a mission. Ramachandra came to this world with a mission. Mission is to teach the human society how to free oneself from the material life. Or in other words, liberation. How to free oneself, cut out of this material existence. So in order to do that, they have performed all the pastimes, and all these pastimes, through the pastimes they educated the sages, through the sages they presented the messages to this world, through great devotees they presented, Shabari, Parikshit, they are all personalities in that. For us what is important is the message. And when we take that message, and when we start experiencing and using it in our own spiritual life, that is perfection. Otherwise it is no use. Simply hearing stories every day and thinking and discussing with others, oh, little Ramachandra, 14 years he spent. So I start looking at it. 14 years he has traveled from Ayodhya. He left Ayodhya. How much time would it have taken to get to Chitragod? And if I start calculating like this, what benefit is there from that? And oh, how long did he stay in Panchavadi? Ramayanam says like this. Tulsidas ji, in his Ramacharitmanas, he gives a different timing. So which one is correct? Then I go start asking somebody else. So Ramacharitmanas, in Tulsidas ji is saying he has only stayed 5 years. Whereas in Valmiki he is saying he has stayed 10 years there. So both are contradicting. So neither of them are correct. I reject both. This is how we are. Isn't it? But these are not what is the important thing driving us. What is important is what the Tulsidas had to say to this world through Ramayanam. And great devotees like him, so many. Because they got the message properly, they transmitted that in a way that we will understand that. So we also have to be as listeners, as the people who are trying to take advantage of Bhagavadam, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam and all. We have to be always keep this thing in our mind before we evaluating or analyzing the different factors. So,
Durlabhomanisho deho dehinam kshanabangura tatra abhi durlabham vanye vaigundha priyadarshanam.
What you have given us today is something which I don't get very often, to see great souls like this.
Ada atyandiyam kshemo prachamo bhavato anaka samsar esmin kshanardhovi salsanga shevadhir nranam.
That's very, very important words.
Ava atyandiyam kshemam prachamo bhavadanaka.
Please tell us, prachramo bhavadanaka, what is that? Ava atyandiyam kshemam. Atyandiyam kshemam, I want to hear. What is the ultimate thing that is beneficial to me? That is what he asked, or for the human society. See that question itself. King Nimi did not ask how I can become an emperor. He did not ask how I can conquer the other kingdoms and subdue them and take all their wealth and become rich. Can you imagine that? The question that has come from King Nimi.
Ada atyandiyam kshemam prachramo.
Please tell me, what is that thing which is ultimately auspicious to everyone in this creation? That's his question.
Prachramo bhavadhanaka.
Then,
samsmare sminchanardhobi salsanga sheva tirundranam. Samsarosmin kshanardhobi.
Samsaram means material existence. So in that one word, Videha has covered everything what he has to say. In other words, the moment you use the word samsaram, it covers our material existence. Everything what we are going through in our daily life, what we are experiencing.
Adhyalpikam, adhibaudhikam, adhidevikam,
all the distress that's coming from that, that is all called samsaram, material existence. So, in material existence, knowing very well, it's all distressful at the end.
Samsaresmin,
and in the middle of that, if you have got an opportunity, kshanardham. Kshanardham means, this is called kshanardham. In the split of a second, I have got the opportunity to associate with you people, with you great souls.
Samsaresmin kshanardhobi salsanga shevadhir nranam.
That is how fortunate I am. And I don't know how much time I have got with you. A very, very small amount of time. And because, like the way they have appeared, they could go as well. Suppose the questions were not proper coming from King Nimi, what would have happened? They would have disappeared straight away. They would not stay there. Because the question was very important, they were willing to spare some time for him and answered that questions at that point. So, samsaresmin kshanardhobi salsanga shevadhirnam, that even such a small amount of association with such great souls can free oneself from the materialistic life. That is what he was pointing out. Such an important point. That is why this first question in Ekadasham, this is the first question in Ekadashaskandam. Atyantiyam kshemam prachamo bhavadanaka samsarospin kshanardhobi salsangam shevadhirndranam. This is the first question that comes. It is in answer to this question, the nine sages is going to talk many, many things from now on. Many, many things from now on. All those things is coming from this one question. Adha atyantiyam kshemam. What is ultimately beneficial for us? Just see how important it is to study Ekadasha Skandam. Just see how important it is to reflect on Ekadasham. It is more precious than even Bhagavad Gita from that point. Even Bhagavad Gita does not have these questions like the way Vasudeva has asked, the King Nimi has asked. Even that question didn't happen while even Arjuna has asked Krishna. So that's why Ekadasha Skandam's great merit you can observe in all the questions as well as all the answers later, how it comes out. Adha atyantika kshemam prachramo. Tell me what is the atyantika kshemam, what I should be aiming for, what I should be looking at. That is for, which is the once for all finishes my material existence. This is what I would like to hear from you. Then dharmaan bhagavadan bruya bruta yadina shudaye kshemam yai prasanna prabannaya dasya atmanam apyacha. And this, he says also, dharman bhagavadan bruya. Bhagavada dharmam I want to hear, he says. Bhagavada dharmam. In other words, King Videha was very clear in his mind that I must hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. That is Bhagavata Dharmam. So right in the middle of Bhagavatam, he is asking, tell me Bhagavatam, he says. How does it fit that? It is like this, that Srimad Bhagavatam means actually things which are related to Krishna. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam means. Bhagavatam is not simply this 18,000 verses. What is we are referring to as Srimad Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is everything what is related to the science of Krishna. That is what Bhagavatam means. And that is what I would like to hear. So you can see, the question is very, very grave. Atyandika Kshemam and Bhagavata Dharmam. These two things he wants to hear. He himself says, Bhagavata Dharmam is the answer. And you are the right people who can talk to me about it. Knowing well their position, he is acknowledging that and asking the questions. We'll start next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Self-realization means what? Liberation from material life. Bhakti is the process, because through bhakti, we will be discussing that later, because there's a lot of things associated with that. It's not through one you come to that. No. These things do go in a rail, like two rails. Yeah, the train goes on the two rails, isn't it? Bhakti is absolutely necessary to have the knowledge. But without knowledge, bhakti is incomplete. Both are complementing each other. You know what I mean? So you have to take both very seriously. Otherwise, what's the use of Bhagavatam if these things are not important? So, Srimad Bhagavatam talks about bhakti. Without bhakti, there is no question of knowledge. A person who has proper knowledge, there will be bhakti in him. A person who has got proper knowledge, there will be bhakti in him. And a person who has known, who has bhakti, he has to have knowledge in him. These two things simultaneously go. That's why it all discussed much later, a lot more in detail. It comes later. You must think like this. Not everybody acquires everything in this life. Some people have acquired a lot of knowledge in previous lifetimes. Yeah? That is following them in this life. You may not see them this lifetime, they are studying anything, acquiring any knowledge. But they already have such high realization. In the last life, they have done all that. That's what you find it in this lifetime. So not to judge anyone based on what you see at this present moment. He may have done so many things in his previous lifetime. Similarly, bhakti also in the same way. So never to judge anyone from what we see at this point in time. We don't know his background, what it is coming from. There are so many examples. People used to talk about even Vivekananda, the same thing. Vivekananda didn't study in this life anymore. It has come from the previous life. And because that way he spoke and this way he
communicated. But why was he Mayavadi?
That you can't avoid. You can't say that, totally you can't reject him like that. At different times in the history, Krishna sends people here. Yeah. They come, they do their business and go. And it's difficult to... But when Prabhupada says, he will say like that. The reason is Prabhupada wants to establish bhakti in our heart. So he has to... He doesn't want us to completely deviate our mind to other things. So it's spoken like that, not any other reason. If you understand it like that, you can feel peace with it. Otherwise, it complicates things very much. Karma Shakti is called in the Bible. See, we separate material and spiritual. Strictly speaking, there is no separate, there is only spiritual. Material life we have to perform for bodily.
After we take the bodily identity, what happens? This tendency increases. For Kamavatam. Karmasakti increases. When Karmasakti increases, that is what pushing people to work hard for hours and hours, weekends, every time they want to work. Why? Karmavatam is very strong. Right? Now, that Vasana, when they come to spiritual life, also follows them. And when they come to spiritual life, what happens? When you come to spiritual life, is to understand first what Krishna has taught us.
You understand your Krishna first, and then you
act accordingly. And you can only understand it when you are peaceful. If you study Bhagavatam, you will get something.
No, I know. But the thing is that in this lifetime, can I just finish? I was just saying that in this lifetime, I will never be able to finish knowing Krishna, understanding Krishna. I take many lifetimes in order to understand Krishna. Does it mean I just simply study Krishna and understand Krishna and don't do any work?
It is not that. Finish this and start the other.
Studying.
See,
life
in spiritual life, right? When you are making progress, when you are studying Bhagavatam from a particular
person in the morning,
as you study, your vision changes towards life. It will also make you realize that there is more to it than what I was thinking.
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely, I do agree with that because in
the beginning you think some understanding, you come to spiritual life, you start practicing spiritual life. After a while, when you start reading books and start thinking, your whole understanding changes.
Because by then you are also realizing that I am not this body. The bodily identity leaves you to some degree. When it leaves, you start realizing that you are going to live eternally. So this fear that if I don't finish it in this lifetime, what will happen? That has no justification.
Because there's a time. So there's a karma that doesn't come into it. Karma.
They might say, well, this is not really a karma. But what I'm saying is that in order to continue seeing it, vivid example is International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Okay, we have deviated in order to continue.
That's it, yeah.
If this is to continue, that karma is not a karma, which is simply following.
Actions in Krishna Consciousness is also bhakti. If it is executed with the right understanding, when does karma become bhakti? When it's offered to Krishna, out of love, without expecting anything in return.
What are trying to do? But basically what you were saying is that study, understand Krishna first.
Yes, that has to go on all the time. Yeah. That has to go on
before
all the time.
You do
to what degree you want to do it, it's up to you.
Oh, yeah, yes.
So whether you want to follow karma or you want to study and follow do karma,
like you said the other day, that knowing Krishna is the knowledge. And
but this opportunity of to understand Krishna is only possible when you have a healthy mind and a healthy body. And if we don't spare enough time for that, what will happen is, it has happened to many people in the past. In the name of serving the institution, serving this and serving that, they get distracted in so many ways.
That's exactly how.
And at the end, they started looking inward. So did I gain what I should have been doing? I didn't do it. So let that regret stage not happen. That's the number.
I'm only talking about in context.
This is one institution, but there are many religious institutions in this world.
Yeah.
When you join institution, you become a servant of the institution rather than the ideal.
But then again, institution has to go on. But if you do not act on the
institution, even at the cost of your soul, you have to save your soul even before the institution. Save your soul. You know that big statement you have heard that at the cost of a country, you have to save it. At the cost of a village, you have to save the country. You have to save the
country. Yes, yes.
And at the end, what it says, for the sake of the family, you have to give up the village. And for the sake of yourself, you have to give up the family. And for the sake of the soul, you have to give up everything in this world. Nothing is more important than self-realization. If that is not achieved, your time in this world is wasted. You didn't gain anything.
Srila Prabhupada understood it very nicely about, you know.
He is teaching us, do this, take it seriously. That's what he's telling.
But this is his institution. We have to look after this. It's your job to look after his
again,
institution.
Again, institution is not everything. Spiritual life is important. If you fall into this institutional trap, it's another trap like the mind. You will be trapped in that. Ultimately, you have to, every moment you have to see this. Am I making spiritual advancement? Spiritually, am I gaining anything in life? This is the goal. Prabhupada doesn't want to, he said, if I get one pure devotee from all of you millions, I am at my mission successfully. Why did he say that? Because he wanted someone who becomes a proper devotee rather than millions of followers who did not
understand Krishna,
Krishna consciousness the way he wanted us to understand.
Thank you.
Okay.